Right now, there is a professional VCR created in 2000 that used to live inside of a magnetic resonance imaging machine. It's copying third-generation anime fan subs into lossless files of between 40 and 60 gigabytes, which I'm then uploading to the Internet Archive. And you're probably wondering how I ended up here. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Peter Healy, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. This all started because the Internet Archive has pallets full of VHS tapes. They've come from a variety of locations, and they represent many tens of thousands of hours of recorded news programs, television shows, and commercials. There's been discussions over the years in how to most efficiently turn these into digital files, to make them searchable, browsable, to have folks use them meaningfully. As I often do, I tried to take a new set of chances trying to figure out a procedure that may work. Besides the VHS tapes at the Internet Archive's California location, I have a whole bunch of tapes here with me in New York, which I had helped acquire due to an estate sale. Many of the tapes are Betacam SPs, but a pretty good variety are VHS. I also know that in my collections, I have a small stack of VHS tapes that have been transferred occasionally, but pretty haphazardly, and representing a few technical errors I made in doing it. So I resolved that I was going to do it right. Once again, I decided to launch into the breach and see how one best digitizes VHS tape. VHS tapes have not been manufactured for a very long time now. They were, of course, the backbone of home video throughout the 1980s and 1990s, before they were supplanted by VCDs, DVDs, and now streaming. For a very long time, hundreds of thousands of titles could be had through mail order, video stores, and rentals. With the end of VHS tapes as a medium, their shortcomings and their unique properties will begin to fade into darkness. In that realm, I take an interest, because I know that there are unique items that only exist on the VHS tape format, and that, as time goes on, the mechanisms capable of reading VHS tape will disappear. So, a little while ago, I started to ask questions. Those questions involved, what is, honestly, the best way to turn a VHS tape into a digital file? I had huge trepidations about asking this in public, because I knew something about the ups and downs of asking for help in this sort of realm. You see, unlike a lot of other medium, analog audio and video have a huge range of opinions, ideas, and rules that people believe in how they are best transferred to digital. You can take the rest of your life going through dozens of different opinions, ideas about what should be done, how it should be done, where you should do it, and what you need to learn before you even begin. And while doing that, the tapes would rot, the machines would stop working, and we would lose what we were trying to save. Here's how I went about it these days. I set up a channel on my Discord for people to come to, and then I reached out on Twitter and asked everybody who did anything involving VHS digitization to reach out to me to join the Discord. And a few dozen did. And these were people who were in a whole range of industry. Some of them were professionals doing VHS tapes as part of their job, while others had done hundreds of tapes, but they had done it from the point of view of somebody who had taught themselves the best way to do it. There were people who had done a few dozen tapes, and folks who only worked with European tapes or tapes that came from commercial sources. I assembled this group, I asked them questions, I set up a survey to understand what I was dealing with, And then I asked the core question, what is the best way to do this? And I got exactly what I expected, a whole range of answers, a whole bunch of ideas, and then me just asking over and over again, yeah, but what is the best way to do this? So the first thing you have to do is get people away from trying to find inexpensive solutions. A lot of people will believe that $100 or $200 changes the perspective on what machines need to be done, but I've learned the hard way that the solution in that case is just to try to find out what is the expensive solution, the solution that maybe costs over $1,000 instead of the one that everyone likes that's about $250. Because if you're going to truly try to do the final run, the final digitization of something that's only analog, you should really put good money into the mechanism, into the machine that's going to do the work. So I found out the name of a few high-end video recorders that people all agree are nice, but a lot of people don't have the budget for. Then we talked about software. Which software would do the job? It turns out that Virtual Dub, but not just Virtual Dub, the fork that people had created after Virtual Dub, called Virtual Dub 2, that has a whole range of additional features, was a really good idea. After that, it became what video capture card to use, and I settled on a Blackmagic Decklink card, which plugs into my computer and has a huge range of analog connectors, one of which is S-Video, which works very well with VHS tape. I just started building this idealized station of video ingestion and digitization and coming up with a process that, while some people might do a little differently here and there, everybody agreed that you weren't committing a crime. And this, to me, is the fundamental action of what I was working on. You see, it's not so much about VHS tape. It's about the fact that every process of converting something from analog to digital is traumatic. It's traumatic to the medium. It changes its nature. It becomes the dominant image by which history will be aware and judge these works. Whether we want to admit it or not, JPEGs, PNGs, and TIFFs of paper will become the primary way this paper is regarded. If we can take a little extra time to really do the process right in a way that can be repeated, we are doing a huge favor to generations not yet born who will appreciate that little extra effort in the present day. And again, this was all in the service of television news and meaningful musical history and other computer works that I had gathered up over the years and turning them into something easily accessible and very high quality. But then, a little turn in the road happened. At this point, I'm often summoned into message boards where somebody reveals they have a whole bunch of stuff, some of it digital, some of it physical, and they're not sure what to do. People talk about finding a whole cache of CD-ROMs or finding videotapes or hard drives or an FTP site that's going down, and people will mention, maybe Jason can help you. And sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. And along that way, I was suddenly offered hundreds, hundreds of anime fan sub tapes. Now, I'd known about anime fan subs for some years, but I never really paid much attention to them. I knew that they had strange translations of Japanese works, that sometimes they didn't do a good job. Maybe they used an Amiga or other equipment to make it happen, and that was all very interesting to me, but not in a real deep way. I couldn't rattle off the names of various groups or describe any of the controversies that had come and gone in that entire subculture over the decades. But suddenly, I found myself in possession of over 700 anime fan subs. These were tapes that had been bought out of Chinatown in New York and taken back to a science fiction and video game store in New Jersey, one which had gone out of business and which had also not only discovered the source from where the Chinatown source was buying, but the source that that source was buying from, and they had cut out all the middlemen and were buying tapes directly from them overseas. And so these tapes were a very interesting collection, a neat specimen. And since I was coincidentally also building this workflow, I decided to put them together. I once again turned to this group of experts and talked to them about what would be the best way to approach what I was doing. As it turned out, I was gifted this beautiful VCR that had been inside of a MRI machine and which the owner had gotten so that he could do tapes of his father, and it had been beautifully maintained. It almost looked new, even though it was 20 years old. And so when I put the first tape in and started working out how everything was functioning, it looked in every way like a DVD. There was no stuttering, no jittering. Everything about the image was beautiful. I decided I needed to get started on this immediately. So here I am, digitizing tapes by the dozen, doing them daily in the corner. Because I know myself and I know my workflows, I have it set up that I don't always have to be right there when the tape finishes digitizing. It can go on for a few minutes or even a few hours, and then I trim it back. I use an SSD drive because the amount of video data we're talking about is huge, and the process of trimming it could take an hour, but now it only takes a few minutes. I make a pretty good guess at what the title is based on the labels or what goes by on the screen, and then I upload it to the Internet Archive. From there, a set of volunteers are now looking at it and giving me metadata. And in doing so, they're also mentioning all of the controversies, the way that different groups functioned, the fights they would have. One of the most interesting parts of all this is that some of the fan subgroups had beefs with each other. People who were involved in it knew about this, but apparently they would often include in the credits insults at other groups or huge rants that they would put up on the screen after the movie was done explaining to you how hard their life was or ways that others had disappointed them. There is, in other words, a real parallel to some aspects of the demo scene where people would include messages to other groups to challenge them, accolade them, or insult them. That's where I am now. I'll be here for a while, digitizing tapes on the side while I get other work done. And it's kind of fun, actually, having this anime fan sub history in one of the windows on my desktop, just moving along, telling strange stories of fantasy, space robots, and romance, and then breaking into a rant to tell others that they're doing it wrong. Just the kind of world I love living in. Improvisation is key in this world. If you believe in something, and I do, about preserving history digitally so that people can enjoy it for years to come, then you've got to roll with the tides. And when 9 boxes of anime tapes show up in your life, you have to take them on. And that, I'm happy to say, is a life delightfully worth living. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bekoianu, Mark Pilgrim, Corey Thomas, Emilio Oliveira, Matt Reynolds, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. If you want to see the output of these fan sub tapes, and I must warn you that in many cases they are going to be extremely bad quality and they represent really beat up VHS tapes, stop by archive.org/details/fansubmarine, FANSUBMARINE, fan submarine, and delve into something that I promise you, very weird, but rewarding subculture.